In the year that King Uzziah died. So we're in 720 BC. And Isaiah is for some reason just there in the temple built by King Solomon. We don't know why he was there. Presumably he's just there praying. Maybe it's before a service is about to happen. Maybe it's like you when you come those few minutes early to be at Mass. And you sit there quietly, or you stay after Mass and continue just quietly praying. Minding your own business. Maybe just thinking about the day ahead. Thinking about members of your family or friends, just praying and interceding for them. Praying about just issues in your own life. And that's what Isaiah was doing. Just there, praying. In the right place. Minding his own business. And suddenly, the Lord appears. Suddenly, the very presence of God is there before him. The presence of the high and exalted King of heaven there before him. And all the seraphim gathered around in worship. Seraphim is a word from the Hebrew. And it means a being of fire. This sense of the purity and the cleansing power of God. And Isaiah is just caught up in this incredible vision. A vision that has happened to so few across the centuries, across the pages of the Old Testament. We only read about Moses on the mountain. We read about Elijah on the mountain. We read about the prophet Ezekiel when he has that incredible vision of the Lord appearing in this fiery chariot. But here, Isaiah is caught up in this amazing vision of God. And the seraphim cry out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Holy is that sense of being other, set apart, majestic, transcendent. The sense that God is holy, other. And as he continues to receive this vision, then the very foundations of the temple appear to shake and everything around him begins to move and rock. And the whole temple is filled with this smoke, obscuring everything other than the very presence of God. Isaiah wasn't expecting this. Isaiah hadn't worked himself up into some kind of religious frenzy. Isaiah was not the follower of one of those religions that says, you know, if you do this and this and this, then God will appear, then God will begin to find you worthy of his presence. Isaiah was just there minding his business when God broke through. This is what biblical Christianity, this is what the scriptures reveal. A God of grace, a God who acts, a God who breaks into our life. It's the same with Peter on the shore. They'd worked hard all night long, poured themselves out, doing what they knew best, doing the one thing that would bring them an income. And after the whole night of work, going around different parts of the lake, throwing out their nets, dragging them back in empty, throwing them out, dragging them back in empty. And here they were, just cleaning up, just cursing and carrying on, that the Lord had not blessed them with an abundant catch. And then, minding their own business, doing what they're supposed to be doing, suddenly Jesus is on the scene, and suddenly Jesus gets in his boat. There's no recording of Jesus saying, "Oh, excuse me, I was just wondering if I could use your boat." No, he just gets in the boat and begins to teach. This is presumably the first time that Simon, called Peter, meets Jesus. So he knows him to be a rabbi. He knows him to be this holy man who teaches and preaches and allows the crowds on the shore to be formed by his words. But even so, then, Jesus says, "Push your boat out into the deep waters." Peter's like, "Hang on, who are you? You're a rabbi. What do you know about fishing?" I was thinking, you know, if I was sitting at my computer, the one thing that I know best, and Jesus suddenly appears and says, "Rich, nick off, get out of here. I want to use your computer. I want to be the one who programs and creates this website. And I'm like, come on, man. You're a rabbi. You don't know anything about all that stuff. Or you're a taxi driver, a truck driver, and you're driving along, and then suddenly Jesus gets in your car and truck and says, look, you're doing all this all wrong. You've got to go here. And you're like, no. Just get back out of the truck. Thanks. I'll call the police. This is what God does. He breaks into our life. And he then invites us not to stay there in the place of comfort, not by the shore, not where it's safe, not where it's reliable, not where it's dependable, not where it's comfortable, but to go out into the deep, to push out into the unknown, to push out into those places where it's unpredictable, it's not controllable. And it's there, precisely there, that God can do his work. That God can begin to use us in the way that he wants to use us. So there in the temple, when Isaiah is having this vision and he's suddenly overwhelmed by the very presence of God, when everything is shaking and rumbling, all the things are being destroyed in a sense, when the cloud and the smoke fills the temple and you can see nothing other than God, when everything else that's important in his life begins to disappear, and suddenly the only thing important is there in front of him, and it's the very presence of God himself. Then Isaiah, like Peter after this huge catch of fish, all they can see in the very presence of God is their own sin. All they know is, I'm unworthy. I can't do this. Lord, you don't know about my past. You don't know about the things that I've done. You don't know the way my heart is. And the seraphim come. And they say, even though you are a person of unclean lips, even though you speak such blasphemies, even though you speak such gossip, even though you tear down the reputation of others, even though you use your lips to do anything other than worship the Lord, this coal will burn, but it will cleanse, and it will renew, and it will bring you the healing that you need. And Jesus says to Peter, do not be afraid, for I will not just send you deep onto the lake. I will not just send you out into the deep waters to catch fish. I will do even more, because you have shown yourself open to this mission, because you have shown yourself that yes, even here you will do what I command you. Even here you will do what I ask you. Then I will do greater things than this. I will make you to be a fisher, not just of fish, but of the sons and daughters of God. Others who need to know this grace that breaks into our lives, this grace that begins to do the work of healing and cleansing and forgiving and freeing, so that we can get over ourselves, we can forget the past, we can go to confession, we can acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I need to be cleansed, I need to be healed, so that then the Lord can begin to do his work. Then the Lord can begin to partner with us, so that we can become people of grace. We can become people who are used by the Lord to go out and to share this same vision, to share this same gospel of Jesus Christ with others. When we're in the temple, when the Lord appears, when the Lord shakes our foundations, it's never simply to destroy. Over in the back of the school, you know, all of those buildings have been knocked down. The old toilet block, the stinky, smelly toilet block, has been destroyed. All the foundations have been removed. Everything that was there is no longer there. Not because God simply wants to destroy, but because God wants to rebuild. The Lord wants to renew us. Isaiah is there. The foundations of the temple are shaking. The smoke is present, obscuring everything else. His lips have been cleansed. And then he can say to the Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am, send me. Here I am, here I am, here I am, send me.